Good morning. Welcome to worship on this second and last Sunday of our season of Christmas. Karen and I had a chance to have a video call with Pastor Paul and Eileen yesterday, and they send their love and that they are doing well. Eileen is enjoying her sabbatical, and Pastor Paul, as he did with all of us here, is working hard to learn the names of many new people, but again, sends his love and misses us and sends his blessings for our worship today as well. So, Karen and I were remembering back, it was 30 years ago this month that my parents moved into their new house. Now, why that's significant is every year that we lived, or almost every year that we lived in Tulsa, which is where we met, and then in Germany and Japan, we would come home for Christmas. So it is quite possible that 30 years ago this month, we came home for Christmas and saw my parents and worshiped with you all for the first time. If it wasn't 30, it's very within months of that. So it is so good to be here and be with pews filled with people that are sharing their gifts and time and talents to keep our UP church vital and alive and a place where we can grow and we can invite others to come and grow with us. This day we're going to be worshiping and looking to the season of Christmas where we celebrate Christ's coming, but also that he comes to us each and every day and will be coming again in glory in the end times. So again, welcome to worship. If you were here last Sunday, you heard me talk about the Christmas, about Christmas as being the story about being lost and found. This Sunday, we're going to continue the Christmas story with the wise men seeking to find the King of the Jews and yet ending up proclaiming that the child with Mary was the Messiah who came to find us. I'll be talking more about that during our sermon later this morning. Announcements from the bulletin. Our announcements this week can be found on the last inside page of the bulletin, but I'll draw your attention to a couple. The Taking Five scripture this week is from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. And we encourage everyone to take a little time each day for meditation and prayer. The Wednesday morning Bible study restarts again this week in the Fellowship Hall at 9:30 for the fourth and final session for the Season of Advent series called An Unlikely Advent. And then the next week on January 15th, we'll be starting a new DVD study entitled The Gospel of John by Amy Jill Levine, and everyone is welcome. Also on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday at 1 o'clock, we're looking for volunteers to help us take down and pack up our Christmas season decorations that beautify our church this season and pack them away safely till next year. So if you can come at 1 o'clock and help with that, we'll take the help. And if you have a poinsettia that you purchase to beautify our church, or you just want one, please, after the service, feel free to take them because they will not be here next Sunday. Later on Wednesday is the prayer shawl ministry, and they'll be meeting in the hospitality room at 2 o'clock. Are there any other announcements for this morning? Then let's begin with our prayer of invocation. Let us pray. Almighty God and everlasting Father, you revealed the incarnation of your Son by the brilliant shining of a star. Shine the light of your justice always in our hearts and over all lands, and accept our lives as the treasure we offer in your praise and for your service. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6, page 602 in your pew Bible. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time where the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's kind of sad, but today is the last official day of the Christmas season. I know that by most measures, Christmas is a distant memory by now. But at least we still have our Christmas tree, the poinsettias, the manger, and our Advent wreath here with us in the sanctuary this morning. But a lot has happened since Christmas. We brought in the new year and wished happiness and blessings for 2025. All the weight loss commercials are now on the TV again. 2 weeks from Monday is our next national holiday with Martin Luther King Day. Best Buy is already advertising specials on Super Bowl large screen TVs. And Target has started putting out their Valentine's Day specials. Even though our world seems in many ways to have moved on, we've still got one verse left in the 12 days of Christmas. Ba-dum-bum. 12 drummers drumming. The 12 days of Christmas is that time between the birth of Jesus and the arrival of the three wise men, or magi. It begins on Christmas Day and ends tomorrow on January 6th, which is officially Epiphany. When we were growing up, it was always our tradition, and it's Karen and my tradition today, that we take down our Christmas tree on the last day of the season of Christmas. So that's coming down today before the Vikings game. We also, as a church, would have a service on Epiphany when we were in Tulsa, and people would bring their Christmas trees, and we called the fire department, and they stood watch, and we had the biggest blaze of a bonfire to burn our Christmas trees, symbolizing the light that had come into the world. This day tomorrow, Epiphany, or Three Kings Day, traditionally Christians counted those days as the representing the time it took the Magi to get from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, a 12-day journey. So we get our 12 days of Christmas. So today, partly because there are such great hymns, and because our wreath and poinsettias and Christmas tree are coming down on Wednesday, today we're going to celebrate both Christmas and then into Epiphany. Isn't that such a great word? I love the word Epiphany. I always think of that light bulb, bing, that goes off over somebody's head when an idea comes in, when a new thought is created or idea or understanding revealed, like the Bethlehem star illuminating the way to a miracle birth. We sang a favorite Christmas, or actually Epiphany song, We Three Kings. Did you know that the Bible never says that they're kings? The Gospel of Matthew that Ruth read from this morning is the only place the New Testament mentions wise men from the East. The Greek term for wise men is magi, so I've been using that interspersed with wise men. And magi generally refers to priestly or religious figures who also studied the movement of the stars and the planets for accurate measures of time. It was a science at that time. But sometime in the Middle Ages, astronomy became the science, and astrology became more associated with fortune-telling and magic. And the church was thinking that that was pretty dark in the Middle Ages, and they wanted to stay away from magic. That's where we got our word magi. It's a derivative of magic. Or magic is a derivative from magi. Interesting. Their identification of kings in Christian writings is probably linked to Psalm 72, may all kings fall down before him. So we have this connection. Matthew also never mentions how many wise men there were. We always say the number three, but that was derived just from the song we sang, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the three gifts that were brought. We really don't know how many magi showed up. We've also got our magi over there on the piano because the scripture tells us that the magi are wise men showed up to Mary and the baby Jesus in a home sometime after Christmas, likely not in the manger. So they're still part of our story, just down the road a little bit when they did find room in an inn. So what does this Christmas hymn trivia have to do with Epiphany? This church season of Epiphany is about the revealing of who Jesus was and where Jesus was. As of that first Christmas, only Mary and Joseph and a couple of shepherds knew about this Christ child. Well, and the angels too. But then shortly after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the wise men or magi showed up to King Herod in Jerusalem asking, where is he who's been born King of the Jews? In this, the arrival of Christ was revealed to the world and to Herod. And he wasn't very happy about it. If you remember what followed, Herod had all male children 2 years and younger murdered in and around the Bethlehem area, trying to eliminate that threat of a rival king. When the wise men left Herod, they went their way, and the star went before them. From Matthew's that Ruth read this morning, And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In addition to the honor and status implied by the value of the gifts these kings or magi brought, the nature of these three gifts also helped reveal or shed another aha moment, an aha light on the recipient of these gifts. Gold represents the kingship of Christ. It is a gift of royalty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Gold acknowledges a leader and a ruler. Frankincense is a symbol of Jesus' priestly role. It is a consecrated incense that was burned in the temple. It is a sign of one's prayers being lifted to God. Similar to frankincense is myrrh. Myrrh is also a resin extracted from trees, and it's an essential oil that was used in embalming. Myrrh was a common preparation to anoint the dead. And in John's gospel, Nicodemus is said to have brought about 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Ping. Another aha moment. A little Christmas bulb just went off over my head that in preparation for this. That epiphany moment when the Magi's gifts for the baby Jesus revealed the Messiah and the purpose for Christ's birth. That from his birth, Jesus came not only to be king, not only to be our high priest, but that his death was part of the necessary plan from the very beginning to also be our Savior. Martin Luther, for some of you know, I'm a respectful Lutheran in a pulpit of five other denominations. Martin Luther, in one of his sermons on the Nativity, quotes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." This is the hardest point. Not so much to believe that Jesus was the son of a virgin and God himself, but as to believe that this Son of God is ours. For unto us is born. If Luther was correct in saying this Son of God is ours, then it raises a very important question. What are we going to do in response to that kind of a relationship? We all have very unique and personal journeys with God. But ready or not, God comes, came, and comes, and will come again into our world and into our lives. Despite the path that our faith takes, I imagine that all of us could and probably will spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out this relationship, trying to figure out what we're going to do and who we're going to become in light of that epiphany moment when God reveals his relentless love for us. While on this journey, sometimes we will come before God with our gold when we are in need of Christ the King. When we are looking for courage or protection, we're looking for a mighty ruler. When we recognize that it's not us who's in charge, somebody that'll lead us beyond our own limitations. Sometimes on our journey, we'll come before God with frankincense when we are in need of Christ the High Priest, when we are seeking moral direction or comfort, when we need consolation or forgiveness. And sometimes we'll come before God with myrrh when we're in need of a Savior who loves us and died for us just the way we are. When we need to know that we are beloved that we are a beloved child of God, just in order to muster the strength for another day. When I was a kid, one of our favorite games in the summertime was flashlight tag. I don't know if anyone has ever played that before, but a group of friends in the neighborhood, we would wait till the sun went down, got permission from our parents to run around outside, and we have our flashlights. And the game was that one person was it, and with their flashlight, they would go around trying to find us, and if they tagged us with the light, then we became the person that was it, and the game would switch. And that story, that remembrance struck me this morning, because the flashlight not only showed us the way, but the flashlight also let us know who had been found when they were tagged. In the same way, our Star of Bethlehem not only led the Magi and us in the darkness, but that same star also let the Magi and us know when we've been found in the presence of God. In a few moments, we're going to share in the Lord's Supper. This is another epiphany moment when God reveals his presence with us and in us through the bread and wine. All those who seek a relationship with Emmanuel, God with us, are welcome to the table. And following the communion, we'll be sent back out from the sanctuary, from this safe place, into the world. Back to our lives filled with joy and sorrows, success and failures, adventure and disappointments, anticipation and waiting. I encourage you to keep your eyes and ears open as God continues to reveal his love and grace and beauty through all his creation. I send you forth with this promise and with this warning. Christ has come into our world and will continue to reveal himself to us. These epiphany moments when that light bulb goes off and you get that aha glimpse of the righteousness of God, these experiences have and will change us. So the question is, what are you going to do and who are you going to become in light of these epiphany moments as you experience the relentless love and grace and beauty of Christ our Lord, of Christ our priest, and of Christ our Savior? And now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Send us forth, O Lord, into the world, refreshed by your love, redeemed by your glory, renewed by your forgiveness, and nourished at your table, that we may show forth your glory in all that we say and do, and that others may see you in us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.